How many of you might have ever heard of Anne Askew before? She's one of the martyrs of the Reformation. She called herself a daughter of the Reformation. You read a significant amount about her in Fox's Book of Martyrs. Anne was born during the reign of King Henry VIII to an honored knight, Sir William Askew. Anne was described as attractive in form and faith, a beautiful and high-spirited young woman, well-educated, with unusual gifts, and very pious. Her father arranged that she should be married to the son of a friend, Thomas Kyme, to whom her deceased sister had originally been promised. Anne endeavored to be a faithful wife, and she bore her husband two children. However, despite an initially happy marriage, her husband Kyme threw her out of the home because of her Protestant faith. Anne had acquired a copy of the English Bible, and she had studied it enthusiastically. She abandoned her formal Catholic religion for the life-changing Protestant faith in a personal Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Her enthusiastic witness drew the attention of the priests, who warned her husband about her sedition. When challenged, she confessed that she was no longer a Romanist, but now a daughter of the Reformation. At this, her husband threw her out of the home, but he acknowledged she had never known a more devout woman than Anne. In 1545, Anne was examined by church leaders concerning her beliefs. Her answers were full of wisdom and quotes from the Holy Scriptures, and she often outmaneuvered the inquisitors, pointing out the contradictions in her own position. The Fox Book of Martyrs has some of these brilliant insights that she gave. Her eloquence only served to enrage them all the more, and Lord Bona was determined to see her burn for heresy. After failing to prove any heresy, because she could quote scripture for everything she believed, he resorted to insinuating that she was immoral. Looking him full in the face, Anne answered calmly, "I wish, my lord, that all men knew my conversation and living in all points. For I am so sure of myself in this hour that there are none able to prove any dishonesty in me. If you know of any who can do it, I pray you, bring them forth." He could not find anyone who could question her morals, so he had to have her released. Thomas Wriothesley, the Lord Chancellor of England, that would be like the Prime Minister today, was so determined to crush the Reformation, he summoned her before the council. Imagine that, the head of state, effectively. He's the Prime Minister of the country. And he summons Anne Askew before his council, which is like the cabinet of today. And he subjected her to an examination that lasted 5 hours. To think that they could waste so much time on the private beliefs of one of their citizens. One of the council, Mr. Paget, challenged Anne, "How can you avoid the very words of Christ? Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you." Anne answered, "Christ's meaning in that passage is similar to the meaning of these other passages of Scripture. I am the door. I am the vine. Behold the Lamb of God. That rock was Christ." And other such references to himself. We are not in these texts to take Christ for the material things by which he is signified. For then we'd make him a door, a vine, a stone. Quite contrary to the Holy Ghost's meaning. All these indeed signify Christ, even as the bread signifies his body in that place. She was charged and imprisoned in Newgate Prison. Her enemies were determined to see her burn. On the 28th of June, she was taken to Guildhall to be examined again by the council. She was taunted with being a heretic. She responded that she had done nothing for which the law of God required her death. When asked directly if she denied the doctrine of transubstantiation, that the sacrament of the Eucharist was the actual body and blood of Christ, Anne responded, "God is a spirit, not a wafer cake. He is to be worshipped in spirit and in truth, not by impious, superstitious homage paid to a wafer converted by popish jugglery into a god." You can see her courage, her eloquence, her reading. That very day, 28th of June, the council condemned Anne Askew to be burned to death at the stake. However, before that horrible sentence was to be carried out, Lord Wriothesley ordered her to be stretched on the rack. They would stretch a person until often even their bones were out of joint. As the levers were turned and the torture began, Anne remained silent. Wriothesley was so angered by his lack of success, he ordered the torture to be increased. As the officer of the rack was so moved by the sight of this pious woman enduring such torture and silence, he refused to intensify the torture. Wriothesley himself, this is the Lord Chancellor of England, the Prime Minister under the King. He's going out of his way to torture this young woman. He mercilessly stretched her on the rack until her joints were pulled asunder and her bones were broken. Yet despite the intense suffering, all the cruelties of her enemies failed to change the patient sweetness of Anne's Christian demeanor. This is a woodcut illustration in Fox's Book of Martyrs of the kind of tortures involved in the stretching on the rack. When the day of her execution arrived, she was to be burned with several other people. This is again an illustration from Fox's Book of Martyrs. Anne was so crippled as a result of her tortures on a rack, she could not even walk. She had to be carried in a chair to the stake. One who witnessed her death wrote, "She had an angel's countenance and a smiling face." She was offered one last chance of the pardon if she would just renounce the doctrines of the Reformation and embrace Catholicism. This she boldly refused. "I believe all those scriptures to be true, which he has confirmed with his most precious blood." Yes, and as St. Paul says, "Those scriptures are sufficient for our learning and our salvation that Christ has left here with us, so that I believe we have no need for unwritten verities with which to rule his church." And Anne Askew made her last stand. And all who witnessed her noble martyrdom were impressed and inspired by the courage of this beautiful woman who gladly gave her life for Christ as one of the truest and purest witnesses of the gospel of the Christian church. Philippians 1:27 says, "Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. Stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of their perdition, but to you of salvation, and that from God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake."